So, as I always say, when it comes to these parashiyot, there's so much to talk about. Oh, and also, I'm sorry, Kochava bat Gwila, there's so much to talk about in these parashiyot. Unbelievable, unbelievable. I don't even know where to start. But let's start and we'll see where we're going to end up. So let's start from the beginning. Parashat Noach says, Ele toldot Noach. These are the toldot, these are the offsprings, the generations of Noach. So you would think right then and there, it's going to tell you what? Shem, Ham, and Yafet, right? His three sons, his offsprings, his generations. But it doesn't do that. What does it do instead? It says, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya bedorotav. Eta Elohim italech Noach. No. These are the generations, the offsprings of Noach. Well, okay, tell us more. Noach ish tzadik. He was a big tzadik and in his generation. So we all know the famous Rashi already, that there are two ways to look at the fact that he's a tzaddik in his generation. Right? Why does it say he's a tzaddik in his generation? What do we care if he's a tzaddik in his generation or any other generation? So the two contradictory commentaries in the same Rashi tell us, you know, oh, in his generation was such a bad generation. So of course he was a tzaddik in his generation. But if you would be in the generation of Avraham Avinu, nah, he would just be a simple person. It's like, you know, today in the Shiur we were discussing, right, Joe and David and Daniel and Ellie, we were discussing, would you rather be the worst player on the best team or the best player on the worst team? Right? So yeah, this Pshat Rashi is basically saying, yeah, he's the best player on the worst team. Big deal. Big deal. Not such a big deal. He's a tzaddik in his generation. Fine. The other Pshat Rashi, actually the first one, was no. He was a tzaddik in his generation, meaning even though his generation was so bad, he wasn't influenced by those around him. He wasn't influenced. That's what it's trying to say. It's trying to praise Noach, right? It's trying to praise Noach. It's actually a very nice pshat in the Rashi. It says Yesh Merabotenu, right? Shador Shimoto Lishvach. There are from our Gedolim that look at Noach in a very positive way, in a praiseworthy way, that he's a tzaddik in his generation. But if he would be in any other generation, he would be even bigger tzaddik, right? And then it says Veyesh Shedorshim Oto Leganai. I believe I'm quoting it correctly. And others view Noach in a negative way. That yeah, in his generation with such Rishaim, big deal. He was the biggest tzaddik there. But if he would be in Avraham Avinu's generation, he would be a nobody. So you look at the difference in Lashon and Rashi. First, in the first pshat, when it talks about praising Noach, it says Yesh Mirabotenu. Right, there are from our Rabbanim, our Chachamim, that look at Noach in a very nice way. But then when it says when it puts him down, it says Yesh Shedor Shimo Toleganai. So who's that? Who's that? So say the tzaddikim, they say that's referring to Noach himself. That's how Noach himself looked at himself. That's how humble he was. He looked at himself in such a, you know, in a humble way that I'm a nobody. Okay, big deal. I'm a big tzaddik in this generation. But if I'd be in any other generation, I'd be a big shot. I'd be nobody. Fine. Anyways, that's what the Rashi begins with. But anyways, but our question still stands. It says Ele toldot Noach. These are the offsprings of Noach, and then it goes on to tell us how much of a tzaddik he is. Ish Noach, ish tzaddik, tamim. And then only in the next pasuk it tells us Shem, Ham, and Yafet. What's going on over here? So the Midrash tells us, the Midrash answers this question for us. The Midrash tells us that if a person goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without children, he cries up, the neshama cries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, it's not fair. You didn't give me the opportunity to do the first mitzvah in the Torah. First mitzvah in the Torah, we know, is pruvu, is to have children. So the neshama goes and complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does Hashem respond? Hashem says, don't worry. You fulfilled the mitzvah. If assuming it was a person who was Shomer Torah mitzvot, don't worry, you fulfilled the mitzvah. What does it say? It's a pasuk in Tanakh, it tells us, Pri tzadik etz chaim. the pri of a tzaddik, the offsprings, the fruits of a tzaddik is what? Is etz chaim, is a tree of life. What's a tree of life? Torah. Torah and tefillah and mitzvot. So etz chaim, that's what etz chaim is. So pri tzaddik, the true offsprings of a tzaddik, the true generations, offsprings and fruits of a tzaddik are what? Torah and mitzvot. So when the pasuk tells us, Ele toldot Noach, these are the offsprings of Noach. Okay, what are the offsprings of Noach? You want to know what true offsprings are? What are toldot? What are the perot of Noach? You want to know what? Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya bedorotav. It was his Torah and mitzvot. That was his productivity. The first mitzvah in the Torah is pru revu, is to have children. What does that mean? What's behind that mitzvah? Number one. Number two, since it's the first mitzvah in the Torah, it must mean that everything that comes afterwards in some way is included in that first mitzvah. We know the Maral tells us that if you want to know something, you want to know some a little more about a certain concept or a certain person or a certain word in the Torah, look at the first time it appears. The first time it appears includes everything you need to know about that. For example, you want to know about galut, about exile? What exile is all about? Look at the first exile that existed in the world, that Am Yisrael went through, Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was the mother of all galuyot, of all exiles. All the other exiles, the secret to survive to survival in all of the other galuyot, all the other exiles, is hidden in galut Mitzrayim. As it says, Benisan nigalu, uvenisan atidim legael. Right? In Nisan we were redeemed, Nisan in the future we will be redeemed. It all traces back to that first time that it shows up. So, you want to know about mitzvot, what's the essence of a mitzvah? We have to go to the first mitzvah in the Torah. The first mitzvah in the Torah is pru revu. So what's pru revu all about? Having children. Pru revu means that you do an action that has offsprings, that has fruits, that is productive, that has continuity, that produces. That's what pru revu means. Why is Kedushat HaBrit and Shmirat HaBrit such a big deal? It's because you don't appreciate the concept of what life is all about. Life is all about producing and making perot, making fruits. That's what life is all about. That's what mitzvot are all about. Every mitzvah you do has continuity, has eternity, productivity, just like pru revu does. But gashmiut, but things that are not spiritual, things that are not linked or connected to Torah and mitzvot, is death, because it exists only for that moment, and that's it. It's not productive. So by Noach it says he was a tzaddik. What does it mean is a tzaddik? What's the meaning of a tzaddik? A tzaddik, there's only one person in Tanakh that's referred to as tzaddik. Yosef a tzaddik. Why is he referred to as tzaddik? Because tzaddik refers to the perfection that a person has with Kedushat HaBrit. That's what tzaddik means. Yosef a tzaddik, he was faced with nisyonot related to Shmirat HaBrit and Shmirat Enayim that no one has ever faced. We all know the story with him and the wife of Potiphar. And he stood up against it and he passed the test. But it was a big challenge. That's what a tzaddik is. Why? Because a tzaddik is someone who is Shomer the Brit. And the Brit is all about productivity. So Noach had toldot. Noach had offsprings. Why? Because he was careful. He was a tzaddik. He was careful. He was productive with his time. That's the foundation, guys, of our time and mission on this world. That's the concept of tzaddik. That's why it says in Tanakh, V'tzaddik yesod olam. A tzaddik is the foundation of the world. A tzaddik lives the concept of productivity, making the most of his life. What is one thing that we own on this world, but we only own it for a split second, and we can never get it back again? Time. Time. You only have it for a split second, and that's it. It disappears. However, In that split second, you have the opportunity to save that moment and to save that action for all of eternity. It's like, you know, we like very spicy foods in our family. So hot peppers, we love jalapeno peppers, habanero peppers, and all of those things. So my wife, you know, one time we went picking and we picked a bunch of hot peppers. So what are you going to do with 50 small little hot peppers? You can't use them, you know, all in one shot, you know? So what are you going to do? They're going to go bad after a while. So what you do is you either cook it or you could pickle it, right? And those things act as preservatives, and they preserve the hot peppers, and they end up lasting a long time, right? So think about it. If you take those hot peppers and you just let it be for a couple of weeks, it's going to turn moldy. But if you act and you pickle it or you cook it and add some spices, some preservatives, so it's going to last for a long time. So basically, you have a very small time window in which you could take those peppers and allow it, just invest a little time in order to allow it to last for a very, very long time. And if you don't take that opportunity, it's gonna be very, very short-lived and temporary. That's exactly how time works in this world. Every moment that we are given is another opportunity. What are you going to do with that opportunity? Are you just going to waste it? It's going to be dead time. That's where the term, I'm killing time, comes from. You're taking time and you're killing it. By killing something, you're making it unproductive and making it disappear. So is that what you're going to do with your time? Or are you going to try to preserve your time, preserve your moments, make the most out of them and make them continuous, make them eternal by uplifting them? That's why at the end of the parasha, the pasuk says that Terach died. Terach was the father of Abraham. Rashi points out, whoa, 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 whoa. He didn't die. Why is the pasuk telling us that he died? So Rashi quotes a famous Gemara that Rishaim afilu bemitatan, I'm sorry, Rishaim afilu bechayehem kruim metim. Rishaim, even when they are dead, when they are alive, they're considered dead. But tzaddikim are the opposite. Tzaddikim afilu bemitatan kruim chayim. Even when they're dead, they're considered alive. Why? So first of all, just to point out, it uses the word tzaddik. It doesn't say chachamim, talmidei chachamim, rabbanim, gedolim. No, it says tzaddikim. We explained what tzaddik means already. Tzaddik is a person who makes the most of his time, who's productive with his time. That's a tzaddik. Someone who's shomer the brit, kedushat brit. So tzaddikim, even when they're dead, they're considered alive, because they made the most of their time in this world. They turned their time into mitzvot. They preserved, they put added preservatives to their time, to their mitzvot, allowing it to be lasting, long lasting. That way, even when they're dead, when they're actually dead, they're physically dead, however, their legacy is still alive and will exist for a very, very long time. However, Rishaim, Rashi tells us, Rishaim, afilu bechayim, even when they are alive, they're considered dead. Because what are they doing with their time? They're killing it. So they're not considered alive. That's why we celebrated and commemorated Chaim Avadia Yosef's Yahrzeit this week, Gimel Mar Cheshvan. Chaim Avadia Yosef is physically dead, but in every other aspect, he's alive and well. To prove it to you, if I was able to, I'll just show you my bookshelf, or go to any Bet Midrash in the world and look at the bookshelf and see how many Sfarim he wrote, how many Sfarim his children wrote, you know, his grandchildren, how much Torah came from that one man that is still being learnt on a daily basis throughout the entire world. You're going to tell me he's dead? He's alive and well. He's alive and well. That's what he did with his time in this world. Tzaddikim, even when they are dead, they're considered alive. But when a person goes and wastes his time, in a way he's a murderer. In a way he's a murderer. He's taking time and he's murdering it. That time will never ever be productive. The Maral Miprag says something unbelievable. You know that every word in the Torah has a simple meaning, but it has deeper meanings as well. So the first man was called Adam. The Maral tells us that the word Adam comes from two different places that are exact opposites. Okay? Number one, Adam, the Pasuk tells us, why is Adam called Adam? Because he came from the Adama. The Adama is the ground. The ground is the lowest place, lowest possible place. Right? But at the same time, the Maral tells us, the word Adam also comes from a different word that comes from the Pasuk, Adame le'elyon. I will imitate and copy the actions of the one above. Adame le'elyon. I will try to be godly. So on one hand, Adam means someone who is like dirt from the ground. On the other hand, Adam could mean Adame le'elyon, comparing oneself to God and being godly. Isn't that a contradiction? So the Maral says the answer is that life is in our own hands. Are we going to act like animals with no potential, like dirt? That's the lowest item that exists in this world. Is that what how we're going to live our lives? Are we going to be Adam like Adama? Or are we going to be Adame le'elyon? To strive to reach heights and to be godly. In this world, Hashem puts us here with potential. And the mission of this world is Torah and Mitzvot, which bring out our potential. You have to understand that, Baruch Hashem, we have a whole life ahead of us. On a daily basis, we have opportunities to produce, to put our energy into potential. So what do we do with our time? Hashem gave us energy to be awake for 16 to 18 hours a day. The doctors say, they said a long time ago, and they still say this, that between, the Rambam says this already, between 6 and 8 hours is the most healthy amount of time that a person should sleep. So obviously there are days that we sleep less than 6 hours and days that we sleep longer than 8 hours. But generally speaking, 6 to 8 hours. So how much of that other time are we being productive? How much of that time are we sleeping? Are we making the most out of every second? So a person, sometimes, you know, lo aleinu, we should all be zoche, but some people are not zoche to bring kids into this world. They're not zoche to have children, the gift of having children. However, they can still fulfill the mitzvah of puravu like we explained. We're living today with the galut of Amalek. The Amalek, as it says, they caused the Jews to do what's called Mishkav Zachar. Mishkav Zachar, that's what they caused the Jews to. What's the severity of that? Okay, listen, you just did something that's unnatural and not supposed to be done. But why is that so severe? The severity is that you're taking potential and you're killing it. That's what Mishkav Zachar is. They got the Jews to take their potential and to murder it. I remember when I was in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, I had the zechut of being there for a half a year. And the Rosh Yeshiva at the time was the legendary Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Nosson Tzvi Finkel was, you know, an American-born Ashkenazi Jew that his uncle was the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir in Yerushalayim. He went to Israel. He convinced his parents to go to Israel for a year to go to his uncle's yeshiva. Okay, he went to Ida Crown. It's a school that's still around in Chicago, and he went there for a year and he never came back. Okay, he ended up staying there, learning there, and eventually becoming the legendary Rosh Yeshiva of a yeshiva that had 6,000 plus talmidim going to learn on a daily basis. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zechutoy Hagen Aleinu, he suffered for many years with Parkinson's disease. He was constantly shaking and moving, and it was very, very difficult for him to move around. I saw him every single morning. You know, I saw his gabai putting on tefillin for him, but the action of tying it, that first. You know, action of tightening it around his biceps. So he made sure that he did that for the bracha, and then the rest of them, his shamash helped him. That was one of the most inspiring moments in my life, watching him. His whole body was shaking. You can watch videos of him online. His whole body literally was shaking like this You know, lehavdil ef avdalot, like Muhammad Ali, his whole body was shaking, making the bracha, shaking, and then tying that first wrap around his bicep. It was unbelievable. So the song that the entire yeshiva always used to sing for him, anytime he walked into the room, it went like this. Ki orech yamim ushnot chaim yosifu lach. Okay? Ki orech yamim. Ki orech yamim. That's how it goes. Ki orech yamim. Orech yamim means long days. Ushnot chaim, and many, many years of life. Yosifu lach. They should add on to, they should add for you. Right? It's like we say, so sometimes we give a bracha, you should be zoche to arichut yamim veshanim. To long days and long and years and added years. So Rav Mordechai ben Chaim, one of our dear Rebbeim in Yeshiva University, you know, says he had a beautiful pshat. He said, "What does it mean? Orech yamim ushnot chaim, long days and many years. Aren't they the same thing? If you have many days, then obviously that's going to mean many years. If you have many years." Obviously, it's going to mean you have many days. What's the pshat? So he says, no, it's not the pshat. The pshat is, orech yamim and shnot chaim are two separate things. Shnot chaim, add years onto your life, that means in actuality, instead of dying when you're 55, to die when you're 77, to add more years onto your life, to actually live a longer life. But orech yamim, long days, you know what that means? That means that the days that you do live should be filled with productivity. Orech yamim, long days. Days filled with mitzvot. That's what it means. So there are people who go to shul, go to Bet Knesset. Well, actually some people, Joe. Right? So people who go to shul, go to Bet Knesset, go to the Bet Midrash. And the entire time that they're there, they're just speaking nonsense. Speaking nonsense. They didn't come to pray. They came to schmooze. They came to speak. What they're doing, these people, is that they're taking their words and they're burying them into the ground on the spot. But when you come to Bet Knesset, you open up the Siddur, you pray, you don't waste your time, you don't waste your words. You open up the Gemara, you learn, you have a Chavruta. So you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Peruvu, you're being productive. So guys, what lesson did we learn, you know, in the past 6-7 months? We had many luxuries, spiritual luxuries taken away from us. Many. You know, whether it means going to yeshiva and learning in person, whether it means your Bet Knesset being open or not being open, whether it means the various Torah classes that used to be, you know, used to regularly go to, that now don't exist, or you're just not able to go to them. So what did we take away from this? What did we take away from the fact that shuls were taken away from us? What was the takeaway message? Why did Hashem bring this pandemic into the world? I can't tell you why. I can't tell you what the reason is. I can't tell you what the purpose is, because I'm just not capable of doing that. But I could tell you what the reason is not. I could tell you what is not the reason and what is not the purpose. Okay? I can tell you what Hashem definitely did not have in mind when He brought this into the world. And the purpose was not that we should learn how to socially distance from each other. That, I don't think that was the entire point of Hashem bringing this into the world. I don't think the point of all of this is that we should all learn how to wear our masks correctly. I don't think that was the point. That is something that we should all do. We should all practice social distancing, and we should all wear our masks correctly. But was that the point of all of this? I don't think so. And I'm not here to tell you what the point was. But I'm here to tell you that one takeaway message is, or could be, that maybe Hashem wanted us to appreciate what a Bet Knesset is and to utilize it in the right way. Perhaps we should utilize the resources that we have, like answering Amen, like answering Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shemo. We've taken these things for granted for our entire lives. Like caring for the kedusha of a bet hakneset, honoring the sanctity of a bet hakneset, of a shul, making sure we watch our mouths in shul, making our time productive in shul. The entire environment of today's society is to be lazy. That's what, by the way, someone told me, you want to be rich? Find an invention, make an invention that will allow human beings to be lazier than they already are. You'll be rich. You'll be rich. You'll be a millionaire in a second. We're lazy. We're searching for easier ways to get stuff done. That's why so many parents just want their kids, you know, just settle with when it comes to Judaism. Just settle. It's enough. Listen, you keep Shabbat, you don't turn on the lights, go to shuls, say Kiddush when you come home from shul. That's all there is to Shabbat. That's, you know, what else is there? They settle. That's what people think, Chas v'Shalom. You have to know that Shabbat is an amazing opportunity. We have this opportunity every single week to get bracha and to provide our weekdays with bracha. That's what Shabbat is all about. So the generation of the Mabul, that generation, the Pasuk tells us, Vatishachet ha'aretz. Right? Technically speaking, what it means is that the land became corrupt. But Vatishachet means lehashchit, it means destroy. It means the aretz was destroyed. What does that mean? It means that Hashem destroyed the world because they were destroying their lives by wasting time, by Mishkav Zachar, by doing things that were unproductive. We have an opportunity now, going into the winter, that we have very long nights, you know, it's dark, and the Rambam brings down, and many others bring down, you want to be someone, you want to become someone, make the most of your nights. Make your nights productive. Make the most of your time. Listen, I'll be the first to admit that when it comes to 8:30, 9 o'clock, I'm so tired. I'm exhausted. But think about, you know, 9 o'clock, you could go to bed instead of 9 o'clock, go to bed a half hour later, an hour later. When it's quiet, nothing's going on, you could be so productive. Your life should be a life that's alive. When you do an action, it should be with life. It should be with excitement. In our world, this is getting worse and worse. People think technology is helping, you know, bring more excitement to the world and more excitement. In my opinion, it's handicapping us more and more. It's diluting what spirituality is all about. Obviously, there are a lot of conveniences. Listen, if not for the technology, you know, there wouldn't be as much Torah learning today as there would have been if, let's say, the pandemic happened 50 years ago. 100%. But what's the quality of our learning? To make sure the quality stays, it's good quality. These are the years, we have many, many more years that we still are able to mold ourselves and to become someone that we're supposed to be. Imagine after 120 years, they're going to show you all of the thousands of words that you devoted to Torah in this world. Imagine how beautiful that will be. Hundreds and thousands of millions of words, they're all going to be jumping on you to support you when you go up after 120 years. People think Olam Hazeh is to relax. So that's why people try to make a lot of money so they could retire and relax. That's a waste. It's a waste. It's unproductive. In a way, you're killing your time. To make the most of our time, every single moment that we have. Like the Vilna Gaon was crying on his deathbed. The Gaon Mivilna. Gaon Mivilna was crying, and his Talmidim told him, "Why are you crying, Rebbe? Why are you crying?" He said, "You know, I'm crying because I'm going to the next world." So they said to him, "You're going to the next world? You're crying? You should be jumping for joy. You're going to the next world. You're going to have a mansion in the next world. You're going to drive a Rolls Royce in the next world. You'll be all set up over there. What are you crying about? If we were you, we would be jumping for joy. Finally, we're out of this world. We're going into the Olam HaEmet. We'll be surrounded by all the tzaddikim." He said, "No. In this world, it's so easy to do a mitzvah and to get an infinite amount of schar, infinite amount of reward. The one of the most precious mitzvot we have is to wear tzitzit, the Vilna Gaon said. So easy. All you do is put it on your body. And every single second, you get another mitzvah d'oraita. I'm not going to have that opportunity anymore, said the Gra, and he was crying. So guys, we're not going to have this opportunity anymore after 120 years to make the most of it, to make the most of it. I'll end off with a story about Chaim Avadia Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that he was undergoing a very, very difficult surgery. And he commanded them right before the surgery that he has to go home for a little bit, and then he'll come back, and then he'll do the surgery. Then he'll do the operation. The doctors looked at him and they said to him, "You're really not well. We can't afford to push it off. We can't afford to push it off. You need to do this now." And he said, "I'm not doing it now. You need to give me at least 2 hours, and then I'll come back, and then I'll do it." And they're arguing back and forth. What, you're gonna argue with a Gadol Ador? So they let him go. So they escorted him out of the hospital. He went back to his home. He took out a pen and a paper, took out some Sfarim. He was writing for about 2 hours, closed it up, bam. He said, "Okay, now I'm ready." They asked him, "What was going on? What'd you do?" He said, "There was one aguna, there was one woman who was not able to get married because she didn't know, it was a safek, if her husband died or not. And it was unknown. And therefore the halakha is she's not allowed to get married. And I found a way to be matir her. I found a way to permit her to marry other people based on a few logical reasons brought down in some Sfarim." He said, "I can't afford to go about this operation without writing this down first and delivering it to her. What if I don't make it? What if I won't be capable of writing it after this operation? I don't want to waste the moment that I have right now." And he went and he pushed himself and wrote it, and he made his gabai deliver that letter to the aguna that she was able to marry. That's what this life's all about. Utilizing the time that we have, making the most of it, making the most of our days. That we shouldn't only live a long life in years, but we should also have what's called arichut yamim, making the most of our days. And we should all be zoche to live a life of tzaddik. Right? As it says, ve'amech kulam tzaddikim, as we say. And your nation, Am Yisrael, we're all tzaddikim. That means inside of each and every single one of us, we have this concept of tzaddik, that we could be productive with our lives. And we could fulfill the mitzvah of pru urvu, even though we're not actually having physical children, but we're having spiritual children by doing mitzvot. And those children will be eternal and will be with us and will carry us into the next world, will carry us into the times of Mashiach. Mizrat Hashem, it should be b'mehav yameinu. Amen. I thank you all for listening. Have yourselves a Shabbat Shalom Vorach. Thank you.